And as we prepare each year, there is one priest that gets to preach on Holy Thursday in Easter Vigil, which is like the happy priest. And then you get your Good Friday priest. Last year it was Father Jerry. I didn't see him skipping around Oshkosh with his dog Rosebud saying, "Yay, I get to be the Good Friday priest and tell everyone about how amazing Jesus is and what your sins and my sins did to him." It's not like we're thinking, "Oh, yay, I just can't wait to be the Good Friday priest. I can't wait to make people feel guilty for their sins and call them to conversion and let them know that they all need to change." This is not the fun homily. And as I was preparing, because I got a call to do this homily about 2 months ago, I was preparing for this, I began to look at something that might seem kind of strange to you, but I began to look at burn victims and just the intensity of what that does to a person. And the most fascinating story and awe-striking story I found was a gentleman named Simon Beach. He's a third-generation floor installer from Canada, and he was one of the best in his field, but he endured a horrific flash fire that left him permanently and severely scarred. When you look at pictures of Simon in 2003 and then after he went through his rehabilitation, you can't even recognize him. But despite the warning bells that were going off in his head, he went to the job site that day. He was using a chemical not recommended to use with flooring and remove the flooring. The chemicals were drawn into the cold air intake in the furnace. And while he was working on his hands and knees, he heard a loud whistle and then a giant bang. Beach was immediately engulfed in a flash fire that spread quickly throughout the entire house. He tried to open the front door. It wouldn't budge. He tried to go out the back doors, but they wouldn't budge. And since the fire was actually sucking up all the oxygen, he had to run into the garage. And he tried to open the door, but that wouldn't open either. He says, "My clothes were immediately burning. My hair was immediately melting. The skin on my face felt like it was shrinking. The pain was excruciating." After about 20 seconds, he was completely drained and collapsed on the ground. Time stopped. Then the heat and the pain all disappeared for a moment. Beach had what they call a near-death experience. But what got him to make that last effort was the thought of his wife, who was pregnant with his firstborn. And somehow he found the strength to try again. He got up and pulled the scorching hot garage door with as much strength as he could, and miraculously, he got out. When he arrived at the hospital, they told him he had a 5% chance of living. He was in a coma for 6 weeks and underwent half a dozen surgeries. While in the hospital, he suffered deep, deep pain and anger, anxiety, depression, flooded with suicidal thoughts. And when he woke up out of his medically induced coma, he only weighed 112 pounds. He couldn't talk, he couldn't eat, and he couldn't move. After spending 14 months in the hospital and a year more in rehabilitation, he is now a public speaker who goes out and tells people about the importance of safety, but also what God has done for him. He said depression quickly settled in. He was filled with anxiety and even had hallucinations. Before he knew it, while he was in the hospital, he said, "I just wanted to die," and began thinking of ways to kill himself. And when he woke up, he's completely immobile, not even able to sit up or lift his legs, as the scar tissue had to deeply set in. His lungs were severely burned. He had steel going down each and every one of his fingers. He had one tube going out of his stomach to feed him, another in his mouth so he could breathe. He could not even call the nurses or even change the TV channel. In the hospital, Beach says, "I felt 100% completely useless." He says that everything I prayed for, God protected. He says his life began to change when he stopped looking inside and started looking outside to see things that were worth fighting for. Again, he sank into deep depression and he was filled with anxiety, but he said he was holding on to God's word, but at the same time, he was pushing it away. He said, my faith was twisted and challenged. There was a battle going on, and who was going to win was unknown at the time. He continues to say that he hit rock bottom, finally. And internally, he screamed out, all right, Lord, you said you wouldn't give me more than I can handle. You take it. He said he found out what was important. He says, everything I ever prayed for, God protected. Again, I stopped looking inside and started looking outside and seeing what was worth fighting for. He continues to say that I didn't get better up until then. Now I see all these people trying to help me to get better. And the only person that was not helping me get better was me. God had already given me everything that I needed. I just wasn't using it. And while in the hospital on September 23rd, everything changed. His wife, Tina, gave birth to his first child, a little baby girl named Amber. He says, what happened holding my daughter that day was I first began in a long, long time to look outside of myself. This was the first day in 5 months I stopped feeling sorry for me. I had this beautiful baby girl now, and I believe that she at least deserved a mom and a dad. Why do I bring up the story of Spencer Beach on Good Friday? I believe many of us gathered here today are like Spencer because all we do is think about ourselves. Today, the invitation is to look outside of yourself, maybe for the first time, especially for our youth who are inundated with social media. And maybe take a moment, maybe for the first time in a long time, to stop feeling sorry for yourself and start feeling sorrow for the passion of Jesus. It's so important for us to know that in the agony in the garden, Jesus asked 3 times for the cup to pass him. But again, he said, not my will, but yours be done. In the Gospel of Luke, we read that Jesus was in such agony and stress while he prayed that he began to sweat blood. You can even read peer-reviewed articles by scientists about this symptom called hematidrosis. Hematidrosis is a condition when your capillary blood vessels that feed your sweat glands completely rupture, causing them to exude blood, and it occurs under conditions of extreme physical and emotional stress. To put it simply, the stress of seeing and feeling the sins committed for all eternity, including mine and yours, made Jesus' blood vessels explode. This is a hemorrhage of blood underneath the skin that exits out the nearest blood vessels and sweat pores. Have you ever had a sunburn that was severe? Or been with someone who has? Have you ever had a blister on your hand from doing yard work or on your feet from doing exercise or playing sports? Have you ever touched something on accident that was extremely hot and your skin immediately began to blister? Or maybe you're someone who has actually experienced a third degree burn. Just imagine those blisters being all over your body and they were so sensitive that even if you just felt the breeze or someone blew lightly on them, you would be in excruciating pain. Sweating blood is what Jesus has done for us. And while lying in the garden, while sweating blood, Jesus was thinking of you and me by name. He's praying to the Father, and he says, let's do this. He's so courageous, it's actually outrageous. And he had this outrageous amount of pain before any of his physical suffering, thinking he was punched in the face. He was chained. He was scourged. He was crowned with poisonous thorns. He was mocked and ridiculed, carried a cross that weighed between 200 and 300 pounds on his back while falling 3 times, with nothing to break his fall besides his face. And he endured this outrageous amount of pain even before having his hands and feet nailed to the cross. But what was the domino that made all this happen? What was the first amount of pain that Jesus felt with this hematidrosis? It was the kiss of Judas. Judas comes in the garden so nonchalantly, so smug, after selling his place for 30 pieces of silver, and says, "Hail, Rabbi." And with the kiss of Jesus, it's as if he's saying, by his sin, "I hope you die." Because again, this is the first domino in the chain of events that would lead to what we call today Good Friday. It's the first pain that he felt on his face by being betrayed by someone who loved him. Psalm 55 tells us that this was going to happen. We read in the Liturgy of the Hours today, for those who are priests and deacons, said, "Had my enemy betrayed me, I could have bared his taunts. But it was you, my own intimate friend." Jesus' own intimate friend, Judas, gave him a greater suffering than Pontius Pilate when he kissed him on the cheek. Anyone here, including myself, Father Jerry, Deacon Rick, who has sinned, has been a Judas. When we just nonchalantly sin and think, "My sin doesn't hurt anyone." What's the problem in our society today? It's that we've become so desensitized by our sins, we can't even comprehend or don't even think about others. We're so caved in on ourselves. When we think about the sensitivity of the pain that Jesus went through for us, we have to come to know that it does hurt him deeply. And today we're called to weep and repent over our sins. The sensitivity of hematidrosis is meant to shake us out of our complacency and all the ways that we become insensitive or desensitized in our world today, especially when it comes to the poor and the suffering of others. And if Jesus being brutally crucified is a remedy for our sins, how great must the wound actually be? Like, why was Jesus willing to go that far? Why was he willing to take on so much pain just for you personally by name? The price he's willing to pay to rescue you by name, we have to just admit, it's completely outrageous and it's borderline insane. He's willing to be ripped apart and gutted like a fish for you by name. Jesus allowed his body to be ripped to shreds and crucified for you by name. Not just what you did 5 or 10 years ago or 20 years ago, but even for what you and I have done today. How does that not make us weep with sorrow? We should be often praying, "Lord, give me a contrite heart for how careless and desensitized I can be. Help me to amend my life." Because this outrageous love, this massive rescue mission, this is what Jesus has done to save you, to win you back. And by Jesus taking on our flesh and being crucified for you by name is the greatest rescue mission the world has ever seen or ever heard. And it should make us fall to our knees and repent for all the times that we have been indifferent and insensitive to the sins around us. Let us just remember that Jesus didn't get shot by a gun and just fall over and die. He was brutally tortured and humiliated for me and for you. We read today in Isaiah 52, it says, even as many were amazed at him, so marred was his look, beyond that of a man, his appearance beyond that of mortals. That means due to the humiliation that he went through in his passion, he was unrecognizable. He looked like a worm, says Isaiah. He went through it all. He wanted to remove every ounce of doubt in your mind and heart, in my mind and heart, of his love for you. Why? Because you're worth the trouble. Why? Because God wants his family back. Because you matter so much to the Father that Jesus was willing to be tortured and humiliated out of love for you. Again, this is not a day where we're meant to feel comfortable. We're meant to feel immense sorrow and contrition for our sins. It's a day that sometimes makes us feel sick to our stomachs. And Good Friday is only good because Jesus is so good. And he's so good that he was willing to take on all the sins of the world on himself. And as I close today's homily, let us return to Spencer Beach. His final thoughts before he thought he was going to die were of his wife and of his child in his wife's womb. He said, if those were my final thoughts, they must be important to him. Maybe you, like Spencer, you've hit rock bottom. And sometimes what it takes to finally repent, to surrender, and let Jesus save you is actually to hit rock bottom. What were Jesus' final thoughts? For sure, it was of you by name sitting here today. It was of me by name here today. It was for sure of his Father, also of his enemies, and of his mother. Just in a moment, all of you are going to come down here, be coming forward two times. One time to kiss the cross, to kiss the wounds of Jesus. When you reverence the cross today, will your kiss be one of betrayal like Judas, and you're just going to go off after you leave here and do your own thing? Or will your kiss be one of sorrow, to truly repent for what your sins have done to him, for what my sins have done to him? Many people come forward and they just drop to a knee to reverence his bitter passion, to show sorrow for their sins. The second time you'll come forward is to receive his glorified body, his resurrected body in Holy Communion. And if you're Catholic and you're in a state of grace, you can receive today. Will you receive him with as much love and affection as you possibly can, or will you nonchalantly receive him as if it's just a wafer? Your passion doesn't mean anything to me, Jesus. I could care less. Some people choose to use the kneelers when they receive out of humility and reverence for this God who's willing to go so far for them. But there will also be a third time. After Mass today, you have time to come forward to go to confession, to be real with your sins, to receive the mercy of Jesus. If you've hit rock bottom or you're very close to doing so, I want to encourage you not to miss this opportunity to be forgiven by the crucified one who wants you back because you matter to him. And if you have hit rock bottom and you've been there for a long time, this day is just for you. We're called to make a choice. We're called to make a decision. We're called to firmly resolve today to sin no more, as Jesus told many of those he healed. We pray for the grace today to be more sensitive to the reality of what our sins have done to Jesus. And one of my favorite prayers on this day is the prayers of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Pray the words, "For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world." Let us pray those words three times as we prepare to intercede for the world, to reverence the cross of Christ, and receive his holy body and blood in communion. And so we pray three times. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. May Almighty God bless you this Good Friday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.